My name is Aram. My pronouns are he, him, and welcome to God's Fall.
My name is Michael. My pronouns are he, him. I play Zion Preeton, the newly arisen God of Force.
My name is Doug, and my pronouns are he and him. And I play Doro Not, the newly arisen God of Travel.
My name is Joe. My pronouns are he, him. And I play Lord Haldir Loran, the newly arisen God of War.
My name is Kelly. My pronouns are she, her, and I play Rena Falaval, the arisen god of luck.
When we last left our heroes, they had defeated a flesh monstrosity left as a trap by the new god of order. Rena and Doro set out in search of clues while Para assisted Zion in a demonstration of his divine batteries for Lord Haldir Loran.
My yakety kids, it's me, Nikki C, here recording an ad for what? My own personal project. I wrote a zine. It's called The Baby in the Bean. It is part of Kickstarter's Zine Quest. It is a 30-something system-agnostic module about a giant baby inside the bean in Millennium Park in Chicago, Illinois. It's crazy, it's surreal, it's apocalyptic, it's got all the things you want and need, even the ones you didn't know that you wanted and needed. But here's the thing, this Kickstarter running till February 25th, 11:30 Chicago time. When's that for you? Not quite sure, but you have the resources that you need to figure that out, and I love you and trust you. So please check out kickstarter.com/Nikki. Can't believe that's the URL. kickstarter.com/Nikki/thebabyinthebean. There are some dashes. Check out kickstarter.com/Nikki/the-baby-in-the-bean/, I guess. That's not necessary, but it's there, I think. Love you all more than you know.
Okay, okay, and he pulls and he's like got a hand on your shoulder. He's like, watch, watch, watch. And he focuses. He's like, this is the bridge. And you see, in this vial, you see his flame go in, and you see your swords go in, and you see them kind of dance about together. In the middle, they form a literal bridge. Like, they kind of condense down to an energy and form a thin filament in between them. And it's, like, very hard to maintain. You have to just barely focus on it, right? It's like, that is the bridge. And then opens his hands, and it just all falls apart very gently. But for a moment there, you felt direct connection to Para. There was energy flowing, divinity flowing between you and him, and you felt alive and energized and empowered by it.
Did you just bridge with my boyfriend?
He goes up and grabs Para by the shoulder. Excuse me?
Right in front of my face?
Babe, we have got to talk now.
I don't know. I thought it was like a thing, like we were all talking. And...
bridging behind his back, man. That's
no,
the first
it wasn't
step.
Even behind my back. It
first
was like in
step.
Front of my face.
It was directly in front of his salad.
Right, yeah, right in front of my salad.
Say, I was like, it's that one, like right in front of my salad.
I just so when that's happening, when all that's going on, do I feel anything with the extra power from my patron, who is myself, like going on? Is there any interaction there? Or is can I roll perception or can or something for
yes,
that?
Yes, I would like you to roll perception.
But then Para should be able to as well because they were bridged.
So he would notice the
that's
thing
18.
Too.
Okay, so you like as this is happening and as Para is beginning to break it off, like this energy that's flowing back and forth, you can hear it echo. It's that same multi-dimensional space. It's that same other and other and other. It's the repeatedness of you throughout time and existence going back and back and back. And you kind of like get like caught in it for a sec. Like it's just awe-inspiring. And Para gets caught in it too. And then you're just, and you're just both out of it. And Para kind of goes forward and he's like, oh, okay. That was a lot. Are you okay?
I am eternal!
I think we may have made a mistake. Are you okay?
Yes, I'm okay.
It can be a lot. That was a lot. Oh, that was different, Zion.
How different? What happened?
It was like a loop. It was like power kept coming back on us over and over. It was strange. But it's okay. It's okay. We're fine.
All right, well, sometimes things are...
Oh, they fist bump. Cool.
Sometimes things are strange with the bridge, but it's something that you should learn if you're going to be hanging with us, because we will need the bridge to be able to defeat our enemies.
Yeah, we should really train that soon. Yeah, okay.
Not tonight.
Not alone either.
Yeah,
but not
yeah, probably not with Caitlin either.
If you wouldn't mind, we've had a very long and trying day, Haldir.
I am so tired.
I think we're going to hit the hay. I heard you got your own room.
As you were like, I think we're going to hit the hay, and there's like a thump thump, and Para is snoring.
So, of course, I stand up and I walk back to the room, trying my best to, you know, not be noticed, put the battery in my pocket.
Sure.
So good luck, because I'll be watching if you don't.
Like, oh, wait. Well,
he's trying to steal the battery?
I'm not trying to. He may just casually put it in his pocket.
I'm trying to casually. Yeah. Can I do sleight of hand for that?
Is that because he was with Para.
Fair.
I'm going to be watching. I'm not going to let my batteries just go.
Okay.
Away.
I would like you to roll perception. I'd like you to roll a sleight of hand. Yeah, absolutely. What'd you get?
I got a 20 total.
Oh.
Got 19. Shit.
Okay.
Are we still here?
I feel like he's going to. I was going to say, maybe I should roll a disadvantage, because that's something that... Yes.
Like, I feel like he would have been very perceptive.
But he's also maybe a little rattled by the parent thing. Also,
a lot of things happen.
I'm more concerned about Para right now than I am about one of my batteries. I'll make another one. But it's just that I wouldn't want to see Para's battery be taken away by somebody I met today.
Totally.
You know, so... Like,
but at the same point, I could see you being distracted enough to like, oh, shit. You know what I mean?
Well, so when Para like passed out, I'm like, oh,
right.
Shit.
Yep. All right.
So I guess I didn't notice.
You got away with it. All right. So, Haldir, you return to your room, correct?
Yes. Yep.
So you return back to your room and you close your door. And it's dark. And what do you do? Do you light a...
Caitlin says, hello.
Lamp or... Right.
Hello.
No, I don't light a lamp. I take my big... You know, ensemble. Outer clothing, my various layers, you
your
know.
Your 50-pound cloak.
Yeah, that's right. Falls to the ground.
I want to sit
on the bed with the battery.
Yeah.
Just putting my power into it, taking my power out of it, trying to understand how it works and the process behind it.
Okay. All right. So I say that you do that for a while. And you're getting to the point where you can put it in, put it out, put it in, store it, charge it. Like, you're getting to understand how this works and you feel pretty good about it. You are also exhausted. You've used a lot of your power. And after a couple hours, you're pretty well beat.
Where do I keep my lines when I sleep is a good question. I have like an enchanted box of some kind that if anyone touches, they die. Like...
I steal that box.
You want Phryne's pouch. Is
yes,
what you want.
Yes,
yeah, you want Phryne's pouch. I promise you can't steal it.
No, all right. So if I don't have something like that, I put it under my pillow.
That's cute.
The thing under my pillow while I sleep.
Right.
Sure.
Do you put the little lions under your pillow too?
No, the lions.
There's a lion in this boot.
I actually don't know. That's a good question about the lions.
I feel like he just probably puts them in like a pouch that he wears.
I think that's probably.
You know,
likely.
Right? It's like it's just on him. Just
so we're clear, like if someone swiped your lions off a table, they aren't bound to them now.
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
No.
Yeah, they could steal them and run away.
They don't even work.
right?
He's correct.
When the cage
don't you have to have like a command word or whatever?
That too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also even if they did, they couldn't just instantly bind them to them. Those lions are bound to you. If they ever came out again, they would fight whoever they were and try and get to you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's still probably best not to have this out in the open where they get stolen in a strange inn with strange
people.
They're
two gold miniatures, solid gold. Yeah. So, yeah.
So that's exactly right. So, whatever little pouch, I keep them in normally.
Yeah.
I just keep it like on my belt while I sleep.
Okay. All right. So, how do you sleep? Like, how does Haldir sleep? Out of curiosity.
He does. On his meditates.
Back. Yeah.
No.
Coffin.
No. Right. He doesn't sleep. He meditates. He's a high elf.
Oh, right.
Oh,
he doesn't sleep at all.
Okay.
He turns off. He's just standing there and goes.
How does Haldir meditate?
I still think it's that coffin.
I guess.
I think it's just a coffin thing. I think you can lay. Still lay like you're like sleeping.
Totally.
I'm trying to think what's good for circulation. You know. Yeah. I guess probably.
I think you should just lay like coffin-y.
Probably laying. Yeah.
I mean, the coffin
on
the thing bed is key. Yeah.
With, the coffin is key.
Yeah.
You gotta keep that emo moving.
Well, see, because your lions are in your hand, the palms.
Oh, true.
Oh, that's perfect. That's perfect.
Which is like soft but like weird at the same time.
In fact, this. You know, okay. You have the lions in your palm. The palms are against your chest. And as you lay there, like as you drift off into this semi-conscious elf state, the slight rumbling of the lions kind of leads you into it, allows you to drift off into it, right?
That's just a little bit too adorable.
It's like a white noise for him. He's like, oh, yeah, I have to turn my fan on.
I think that's kind of an interesting play.
Well, no, because like for a lot of like serial killers and like sociopaths, like they
like love
really
animals.
Bond to like certain animals or whatever.
So you might have a thing for cats.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's totally cool.
All right, yeah, that's
cool.
You
want you want to crush people. However, you play with a puppy.
You know? So what we need to do is get a cat.
That's it. That's it.
You know,
Torvik.
All right,
Torvik.
No, too late.
I have a mission for you.
I'll meditate for the night.
And you can hear the lions kind of like lulling you into this sense of peace and relaxation. And there's just this like, you know, again, this purring and this roaring in your ears. And then at some point, you just open your eyes. And you're lying on your back in a meadow. And you can hear the lions behind you.
I sit up. Am I on a bed or just on the ground?
No, just thick carpet of grass.
Lions are behind me like they're there as my fellow lions.
You turn around to look, and there are both the lions romping and playing. Caitlin has a piece of string on a stick, and she's bouncing it up and down, and they're playing like they're kittens.
I stand up. Caitlin.
Hey, Haldir. I was wondering where you were. And she puts down the stick, and she rubs the little kittens, and she kind of like goes to walk over, and they push against her to like to you, and she drops down into the grass next to you. Hey.
So I turn cross-legged and face her, and I say, it's good to see you. Where have you been?
Oh, I've been, well, there. Like.
Everywhere?
So. The past and the present isn't real, but think of it as here or there.
Interesting.
She's gotten whack.
I know. I need to get my fucking leash back on this girl, man.
Like she
Jesus
is
Christ.
She is turning over to some... She's...
Something
you know
else.
We thought we had like the bad guys we were like fighting, and then we have us. Like,
Caitlin that's going to kill all
third
of us.
Party. Like she's like building her own army. She's like
so,
secretly... Haldir's just part of the plan. And then she looks at like the line or whatever that we're dealing with, and she's like, they're next. And then my friends.
Is that similar to what, because the way you've described kind of the interaction of my past and all the different, is I've understood it less to be about time and more about different realities.
Yes.
Is that accurate? So it's not, so hers is like time is all the same, and I'm like, you know, the universe is infinite.
So are you asking about this?
I'm asking
talking?
You this.
Got
I'm asking
you.
The DM this.
The way that you understand it is that Caitlin is moving between time in this reality.
Yeah.
You move or at least are touching alternate realities. Like this is Haldir, but in a different reality. This is if this reality happened. This is if this, like every time there's a different reality, there's always a Haldir.
Every time Kelly rolls a different.
Right. Yeah, right. Die. Exactly. 100%.
Yeah. So I ask Caitlin, can you move through time?
I don't know. I can be in places where time was different. I don't know if that means anything. Because, like, I'm here with you now. And you're here with me. And this is where we're from. And this is our present. So we're here. If I go back, then I'm there.
Right.
And that's my present.
Clicks.
And this is now my past.
Caitlin, have you ever formed a bridge?
The crusade has come, right.
I formed lots of bridges. I love the bridge.
Would you like to bridge with me?
Yeah.
Well, she gave consent, so.
But we don't know where he's going to go. Because last time she's done some of this stuff, we've ended up on different sides of the universe. So,
I want to bridge with Caitlin.
Okay. I have so much to tell the others, though, so I have to do that, too. But yeah, let's bridge.
Do we have to roll for it?
At this point, you guys have done it. Right, you guys have made the bridge.
I've never. I've done it once.
Go ahead.
Caitlin's a natural, but you know.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Caitlin rolled a natural one. What did you roll?
I rolled a 14 and a 3. It's because it's divinity, right?
17. Yeah.
Tell me what you wanted to happen.
I wanted to bridge, and then I wanted to see if she could explore my different realities with me. With her traveling.
So you wanted to bridge and show her the different realities. That was your goal.
Yeah.
So you will reach out, like she puts her hands up. And do you reach out as well?
Yeah.
Okay. So you reach out, you're moving to close your hands around each other. And she looks at you and she's like, don't worry. I've done this a lot of times. It's going to be just, and your hands clasp and both of you simply vanish. And we're gonna hold you right there. To go out and get a job and be the thing that everybody thought you'd be while growing up, and I am. So act like you know what's up. I'm black ops showing up on you zombies, bought a backdrops blowing up. Everybody wanna be a tough guy. My big brother always wanna tell me what's right. Even though it's out of love and rites of passage, sometimes I wanna slide him down a bar and break all the glasses. Like that's it. You got expectations? I'll press pressing before I break them. So while you cry over spilled beer, I don't sulk. I grab life by the hips and go home. Yeah. Call up DJ, we outta here. I need a new captain of the ship to steer. Hey. Now everybody follow my lead. From Rudy Cinemax to the old school way.
Dear, we may be in trouble.
He loves you now. Like he believed in you now, and now he worships you. Like you see in his eyes that shift from follower to worshiper, right? You are the one that will take back the Holy Land and give it back to them.
The crusade is
right. Exactly. That's what he wants. He wants the crusade. In that moment, you feel this tinge. When you ate this young gentleman that you've been wearing a lot, you felt his youth and his power and his strength and his intelligence. Like this was a fine specimen in his prime. And it gave you this rush of physical joy. And you felt things in the way that he felt things that was different than you. And all that sensation was a rush of feeling you didn't remember experiencing. This tiny little prick, this tiny little push right somewhere around your chest is so overwhelming, is so many times more powerful than that, is so filled with love and joy and acceptance and worship and just complete and utter devotion. And it makes you so hungry for more of it. And that was your first little taste of an actual bit of worship that feeds into your divine energy.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to try to just charisma check to keep my cool. 3 after
roll
that.
Roll with advantage for Azari.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, 10 plus 4, so 14 to try to keep my cool after that.
Sorry, thinks you're so cool. Just yeah.
Trying not to freak out after a moment like that. Love that stuff.
Yep. Yeah, Azari we'll thinks take it you're back super or... cool. Allura is just gazing without, like, her face doesn't change at all. And Tiatha is just like, she just still looks calculating. Like, so, like she's there, she's present, mm-hmm. she's nodding.
So the first step is we need to know, we will either take it back or we will make... this place even better. We will grow, we will terraform the desert into a new paradise after we've taken back the original. That's what we must do, because of the, all of the Sun Elf children must be born here. We'll make it a paradise for them. But first we must know what we are up against, but we will wage total war.
I want you to roll your divinity. Why you give this speech?
19.
Okay. So as you're giving this speech, Azari has gone, his eyes have gone wide, and he's moved out of his chair and onto his knee, and his hands are trembling on the top of the table. Elora and Tiatha also look pale and are just staring at you. And for a moment, like you're not quite sure, like they don't understand what you said that was so impactful that it sold all of them. And you look down and you've put your hands out and you've spread them over the table. And as you spread them over the table, the wood beneath your hands began to sprout branches and leaves and flowers and was literally coming to life.
Yes.
As you moved your hands outward.
And I want to say again, as this is even a shock to me, behold life eternal.
Now, as you do that, as you flow into it and accept it,
yes.
The center of the table rises up in a core, and then the whole falls out of it, much like how your plug of a community is built in the rock and sand. All around you, the sand, the table that is the desert, it spills out in leaves and flowers, and they all kind of push back in their chairs as all of it becomes terraformed into this absolute paradise right there
Fantastic.
In front of them.
Can I add some little flavor into that where it is a form of, because again, I'm a very alien creature. I want this fauna that comes up to be almost like, you know, when you look in history books and you see like the prehistoric megafauna, like the weird looking ferns that are, I want it to be that type of vegetation that comes out. It
feels ancient.
It is ancient. It is alien to them, but it is a form of life that I want to radiate out.
Totally.
Just to be
maybe
a flavor
instead of like being majority greens, it's majority purples, that kind of thing.
Yes,
yeah, absolutely. Okay, cool. Yeah, that is exactly what you showed.
Fantastic.
This alien
growth, or whatever it is.
It's basically an alien Eden, is what you're showing them. Yeah.
Yes, and this is a broken people ready to accept. Yes, good, 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 good.
All right, they are sold. What are your plans over the next year?
Root out the assassins. I want to learn everything I can from the... I want to kidnap or I want to coerce people that would know... People from every country or people from every land.
Gotcha.
Emissaries from...
People from Kadar, people from everywhere.
Emissaries from guilds. Yeah. Emissaries from traders.
Right.
I want to kidnap them, suck their brain.
I see what you want, right. You want them brought to you so you can consume them and have all their knowledge.
Right. Right. Yes. I want to kidnap them or coerce them to come here and then take them.
Right.
It's got to be... I want them to be silent. I want them to... I want there to be some of my thralls, maybe, or... Maybe not directly Sun Elves. We might have to do it by proxy.
Sure.
To get some rumors spread along where the homeland of the Elves are that this is not forever.
Right.
I want there to be propaganda, is what I'm saying. I want there to be... I don't know exactly what...
Join the Elves of Rizad together in this holy quest.
It's just, what I'm trying to do is, I guess I'm trying to keep a low profile too, so the propaganda would come later, but mm-hmm. the first thing I want to focus on is gathering knowledge, gathering forms of, we will use the desert as a form of defense.
Sure.
We will set up several forts on the desert to surround, so if we have a central area here, we're going to make several forts surrounding it, and then we're going to expand
until you've secured the desert, basically. Right.
We're going to secure the desert. We're going to use every resource that we can, all the while kidnapping or coercing people. I want Kadarians. I want someone from the Rise.
You want Wessel.
But I don't want stealth has to be on this. So I want,
absolutely.
I want to, I guess I can't say train them, but I want them to be.
The scouts are very stealthy, and Azari is the head of them. Mm. So he will be going out mm-hmm. With these units. He will be leading them personally. He'll be training them and guarding and sending them out on missions personally and then reporting directly to you. Mm-hmm. So he will be on this for you, make absolutely sure you get exactly what you need.
Another thing I want is we might have to play this one out.
Yeah.
I want seeds from the forest.
Sure.
From our original forest. And if I can, water from that lake.
Sure.
And I want to try to
plant some of the create, original forest
here. I want to either plant it here or generate it. My idea is to like make catapults with seeds or pine cones or something and launch them out so they will go into the desert and then bam, and they will start to grow there. I will try to terraform the desert. Yeah. I don't know how well that's going to work.
But you can try it.
But I can try it. And yes.
So the other thing that Azari brings up then in this like little war council you're doing is he turns and he was like, you know, of course, my lord, that you are not the only one who has arisen.
I did not know that.
I see. We have an idea that there are others that have been reports. Hmm. Certain things have happened. Explosions, powers seem to be returning to this world. Is it possible if you could take the knowledge and the body of one of us that you could do the same with one of the arisen?
What is your name?
This is Azari. This is the captain of the guard, the guy on the council, who's been like your, you know, who's been go-go you from day one.
That is a brilliant idea.
He bows. Way too much praise. He can't take it.
Fantastic. I want to see his little face flush red.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I want to send a scout to the largest temple to Ayus, whether it is old or new. We want to find a worshiper of the old god of the moon and see if this alliance still exists.
Yeah.
If this deity led you across the desert and saved you before, led you to me, maybe there is still a bond here that we may try to bridge again.
Maybe the arisen god of the moon.
God of the moon
so
will
Lake,
join us on this.
Lake Seven would have temples to Ayus, old temples to Ayus. It was a very flat, still lake. And that's the kind of body of water that Ayus preferred because the reflection of the moon would appear in the body of water and he would step out of it and that's how he would make his grand entrance. That is how Ayus liked to play. So yeah, there'll definitely be temples to him there.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Would you like to go to them yourself?
Are the elves that live there hostile to us?
They are unaware of us.
Unaware of us. Do I want to go to the Temple of Ayus myself? Well, as soon as I get all these kind of things in place,
yeah,
we have a dungeon set aside where I can put all these kidnapped captives where I can suck their brain later.
We can make you one, sir.
Fantastic.
We can start carving one out.
All right, great.
Yep.
And then, what industries of war we can win. And then, yes, I will go myself.
Yeah, they don't really have, they don't have jails because if someone committed a crime against the colony, they would simply exile them, send them into the desert the same way they got here. Mm-hmm. So there's no one in jail. They've been sent into the sands.
Are there still tribes out there of wanderers?
I mean, not that they know of. They don't, as far as they know, no one's ever survived.
If you do encounter them, say that they're welcome back into the fold.
It's like the first time Azari kind of looks at you with surprise and then immediately lowers his head and says, of course, sir. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Who are you wearing right now?
I almost said Sigma, but that's himself. Yeah. Enid.
Enid. Okay, so the old man. It's especially creepy when it's the old man. Yeah, and he nods again and then steps outside and then stops at the entrance and turns back to you and said, of course, there's still the challenge this evening. I will bring guards to your chamber early. We will discuss how all the rules work. And then he kind of steps forward. If there is a form you wish to use, I am sure that any of my men would gladly make that sacrifice.
I think that having taken the form, and then I take the form of the assassin Oris.
Yeah.
Having, yeah, yes, I'll just leave it at that. I take the form of Oris.
Yeah, basically you're going to fight.
And say dismissed.
Yeah, and he nods and he walks out. So you're basically planning to fight the sister of this guy wearing her brother's face.
Yes.
That'll work.
The seriousness of Sigma and also the implications or consequences of being in the birthing tree.
Correct.
And how mind flayers typically work. So right. They are sensitive to the thoughts and psionic energy of the people that they usually prey on.
Sure.
But in this case, locked in this prison, I mean, this is the tree that the Sun Elves would pray to for children.
Yes.
I hear.
It's a birth tree.
Even if I don't recognize it as hearing, because like you said that I gained consciousness.
Correct.
I may have attuned myself to be sensitive to their thoughts, their desires, and Sigma truly believes himself to be the manifestation of the will of these people.
There's no reason why he wouldn't. He came from, and now that you're remembering parts of your past, like you don't remember your actual life, but you are remembering bits of the world you came from. And you came from a land that is conquered by the Illithid. They control everything. They have dominated all of the humanoid species and also conquered or dominated all of the intelligent other species. You guys can manipulate dragons and beholders and many other creatures.
As there, it should be.
There are some. There are humanoids and other intelligent creatures who were never, it just didn't work, whether it was on a chemical level or there was some sort of will that simply was resisted or their brains were just too different.
They're too weak.
Or maybe they're just too weak to take it. Yeah.
Too weak.
Because it would kill some of them. They would just both die in the process, both the tadpole that you create and the creature. And so when you would do that, but that's how Illithid create more of you. Like you find, in your case, it was you don't know.
I don't know. Spoil it to me before we even begin here.
But it's some sort of humanoid, obviously.
Right.
Right. So it was some sort of humanoid. In your case, they were chosen, told that they were ascending to godhood, because that's how you all sell it to the chattel, right? Mm-hmm. And then take it into a room. That's a big, huge thing for show, but it's really just a worm going in your ear, right? Or your eye, or whatever. I think it literally describes it as whatever orifice is closest.
Can find, right. And then replaces the brain.
And then replaces
of
the
host.
Brain. So it would swim up the, bury itself in the brain and begin to absorb the consciousness, consume the consciousness until it became a replacement for the brain.
Yes.
And then at that point, it becomes
an Illithid. That is my ascension.
Now.
I have shed the mortal coil.
Right. Now that was you turning into that. You became a god. You don't remember it, but you know that everyone went through that process. At
yes.
some point, they were all turned.
I remember vague impressions of all being part of a vast, splendid colony, like a hive.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's gone. Now right. It's replaced with something different.
Something very different, but nothing to connect to.
Right.
It's just me. It's just you. It's just you.
And then it's frightening, but delicious.
It's going to be terrifying. I mean, the server's there, right? Like, you could build the network again, but you're the only one. You're the only one. And you do remember being ripped out of this. Like the few final seconds you've seen now. And you remember being ripped out of this network and feeling this incredible pain. And you also felt the pain when you woke up. So there must have been some sort of feedback you got for being ripped out of this network that damaged your memories. Or maybe, because it's a hive network of intelligent creatures, you offload them. Like, you might even not
this
be conscious of it, but...
a new type of ascension.
Yeah, the network might hold some of your memories. It's not great to keep... You consume so many minds and so many pasts and histories and everything. You couldn't possibly hold all that on your hardware. Mm. You got to offload some of that onto the network. And and whenever someone else would consume someone, you would experience it too.
Yes.
So that information must have been added to some central core. And you remember the giant brains?
Yes.
Probably that's where they got stored. It's a symbiotic relationship.
Yes.
You serve the elder brains.
And even if I don't understand those connections, yes, I would feel my connection to them. Mm-hmm. Right. And now, again, on my own, the only way Sigma can view this is another type of ascension. I mean, this first experience was, I am normal,
yep,
but told that he is a deity, told he is a god.
Well, confirmed, basically.
Confirmed.
Because he doesn't remember any of it, but he knows the history, and therefore he knows what would be expected. And also, he was raised this way. He was raised with the understanding that this would happen, and then he lived the life of being it. Some of that's got to sit in the core of your being.
Yes, what do gods do? They conquer. That's right. Where this comes from.
Yeah.
That's where the desire to... That is like... that is the Illithid Mind Flayer part.
Yep.
And being attuned with that tree, like I had said earlier, I recognize that there is a terrible price that these elves must pay for summoning me forth. Look at what you have done here.
Yes, this is the terrible price.
This is the price. You accept it, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. They're going to have to.
And now I'm meeting someone I met someone immediately who did not accept that price.
Correct.
And
there was resistance right away.
I can understand that. I can understand the rebellious spirit. They must be crushed, but the rebellious spirit is one that I can understand.
If the Illithids were in total domination of a planet, you probably saw nothing. You've probably never seen resistance in your entire life. This entire populace is raised from birth under the tentacle of the Illithid, right? Under the tentacle.
That's
under
the cup.
Yeah, the birth control, the population is controlled. It is limited. It is, they probably tell them who can have kids, when they can have kids, who they can have kids with, right? Mm. And then those children are chosen specifically to have specific traits, right, that will help them continue to control. It's also, and then on top of that, they're being slammed all the time with this sonic energy and sonic control,
right,
and their leaders that are chosen either by them through illusion or just simply directly by the Illithids because they're literally their gods, right? They are under the direct control of the Illithids. So it's...
Maybe I wouldn't identify with the rebellious
spirit. I don't even think you'd know what it is. I think that rebellion, that may have been the first time you understood it. And when you absorbed them, been the first time you'd seen it. And even maybe even understood the concept that someone might see you as horrible. Okay? Because in your mind, again, after a millennia, this is beauty, this is perfection, this is the desire of everything, and everyone would agree with you.
Yes.
Right? Even the people who didn't look like you.
That's right.
They'd all agree, okay? So for you to step into this world and for someone to see you out of fear and horror, anger and rage, all brand new.
Yeah, they can do that, but they'd be wrong.
You might not even know that they can.
Right, okay.
You might not even know
Sure.
You know, that they're even capable of it. Why would a god even consider if a human could be mad at them? Why would they even care?
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I wouldn't. Right. I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't care that they're mad or upset
would be possible, because you wouldn't think more than do they look upon me. You wouldn't care what they think. You don't care. Mm-hmm. Does it matter? You don't care what the cow thinks.
And in this case, the need for conquest is flavored by the sun elves. And again, the first mind that I'd eaten, this Enid character, this one of these elder people, I absorbed the problems. I have the first taste in this world of what's going on came through this mind.
Yes.
So clearly I was born as a deity to these people. And you're right. I wouldn't necessarily view it as I'm serving these people. These people serve me.
Right, right. That's what they're there for.
Right. But what are we going to do? Where is this motivation going to come from? That's what I was trying to figure out with Sigma. And the only motivation, I think I could say the most fun motivation I can think of to play would be to play into the Sun Elves, what they would want.
Sure. Well, it gives you motivation.
Take back Lake Savan.
What you want is conquest.
Conquest.
And you want conquest because you live in a hive society who believes on some level, very primal, that they have to spread out and conquer to survive.
Yes.
It's not about, It's not about the act of conquering and winning. It's about survival. Mm. It is a base instinct. So you want to spread out and conquer as a base instinct. The elves just give you a reason.
Yes.
The elves just give you a way to be to make it a crusade.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. And that is what this is. It is a holy pilgrimage.
Where we'd left off is that you had, they almost assassinated, well, they tried to assassinate you. They knocked you off a thing. Should have worked, but fucking levitate. And then you, and then at that point, everyone's like, oh shit. Like, they were sold, but they got super sold when you fell off this balcony in front of them. They all gasped. And then
my true form was shown to them.
Yep. Yep.
Right.
Yeah. Which was, again, horrifying, but they expected something and they expected it to be a god, and gods are different. And this is no, I mean, gods have done some fucked up things. They're aware of that.
Yeah. And now, and yes, after that, and after the attempted usurpers were rightfully held.
Yep.
Well, I showed the people that I showed them, there is some level of self-awareness again, where it's, I am a terrible being.
Yes.
And this is the price you will pay for having me here. And I ate Enid's brain, showed them what life eternal would look like through me.
Right.
Even though that's a new, the Illithids where I'm from wouldn't be able to do that. It's
correct.
A whole new thing.
Right. They can't, you can, which is just a terrifying layer to add to a mind flayer.
You did that, not me.
That's fair.
I didn't ask for this.
That's fair. Fans, this was all me.
That's right. I did not ask for that changeling ability. I will take it. I will use it. Try not to abuse it.
It just makes so much, I mean, I can see why you wouldn't want all mind flayers to be able to do that.
Right.
That would be bad. But for this particular one, who we haven't really talked about. Have we said yet?
No.
But for this particular deity, as we will find out, it makes perfect sense why this and the, well, we haven't really talked about this yet, because all of the characters have been more or less the standard D&D races.
Right.
There's been a couple baddies that are a little different, and certainly in the rise of the demigod show, we're starting to give powers to, you know,
all kinds of creatures,
oh, yes. Right? You know, including beholders, right?
Right.
Oh, you know, yeah. Mordok's my favorite. You
I
know,
I love that, Dean.
Well, you should love me. Yes. I'm your friend.
Yes.
I can do that for like 5 minutes at a time, and that's it. But there's, but in God's Fall, we're starting to touch on that too, because some of the original gods were not just elves and dwarves and humans. They were creatures. I don't want to say
fire
all of them.
Giants.
There was a fire giant. We talked about that one.
Mm-hmm.
What else did we...
The cactus.
The cactus, right? The arisen cactus, which is one of my favorites. The name they gave was Golden Barrel, they assumed, because they gestured towards a flower that was a golden barrel. It's the kind of flower that grows on the kind of cactus it's really difficult to say. They are a living plant that has sentience.
There's nothing
else we really understand about them.
Right. No. In D&D speak, isn't that awakened and awakened?
Yeah, I mean, but awakened always suggests so the wizard awakened this creature and provided it with enough awareness, right? So I played an awakened cat, and I viewed that as I have the ability to communicate with humans and dwarves and everyone else in my party. I have the ability to speak common, right? Somehow. And I have the ability, you know, to express my needs and my wants and my desires.
Hmm?
And I'm thinking, but I'm still a cat. So I'm not expressing those needs and wants and desires as a person.
Right.
Like, I did cat things all the time. I just lost interest in things. I would just take a nap because, you know,
because
I don't
exactly
care.
What a cat would,
That's what a cat would do. I wasn't necessarily good. I wasn't necessarily evil. I was a cat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
So, but that gets harder when you're a plant.
Yes,
it gets really hard, especially when you're now basically a person.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So it's odd. So I was like, how would they see themselves? How would they react to people? How would they communicate? That was my favorite part, just doing all the flowers.
Oh, I loved that whole bit.
My bad.
That is
my
a fantastic
favorite.
Character. I love them.
And so one of the things that they tried to do was, when they were asked their name over and over, finally was like, okay, well, and then just showed
the golden barrel
flower that was growing on them. But did they say golden barrel, or did they say flower, or did they say gold? What did they say?
Yeah,
you know,
And the beauty's in the eye of the Mordok.
Making these other creatures, right? When I'm giving them their divine abilities, because how divinities work and how demigods' full abilities work, how it can amplify certain things about you. It's not just about like shooting this laser, creating this fire, you know, being stronger. How can it amplify something you can already do? Your character can create asexually tadpoles.
Yes.
And these tadpoles are basically, it doesn't really go into all the details of it, but from what I can understand, they carry your genetic material, right, to a host. And that host, and then it like goes on nom 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 on their brain, and it replaces their brain, and then turns that host into a mind flayer. That's you guys reproduce by asexual tadpole brain eating.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So.
And it is beautiful.
It is a gorgeous process.
It is beautiful.
It is. Well, you on your planet, again, you would call it ascension.
In this world, it will be viewed as beautiful soon.
In this world, well, I guess you would call it ascension on this world too.
Ascension,
they just don't know it.
Yes.
Yeah, because they're becoming gods.
Yes.
You're turning them. You're turning the lowest of the low, those who crawl on the ground before you, into gods. That's how powerful
you're
you are.
Welcome.
Yeah, that's right. You are welcome, because you can do that. Now, normally that's all you could do, but because of who you are, we can't say it yet.
Right. You'll just cut it out if we do.
Yeah, yeah. But because of who you are and because of what you can do, even though you're not aware of it yet, your tadpoles, is that what they're called? They're just called tadpoles?
Sure.
Sure. Okay.
It's your world.
Yeah. What tadpoles? Your tadpoles can do more.
Yeah, I imagine them as gross little silverfish.
Ooh, that's good. Gross little silverfish, okay, but they have those round mouths where the teeth all come in from all sides. And when they eat your brain, they kind of like do that awful thing where they kind of spit their mouth out like a couple inches and then
slowly
and then just like pull the whole mouth back in after they've grabbed a bit of a brain. So it's like this like pulling, rending thing and the teeth kind of turn like that.
Gross.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Yeah, yeah. So that's
so. Yeah, I can create those. Those can do, as you say, more because of my magical divinity ability.
Because of your divineness,
right?
Right. Which we haven't. You know, watch this. Like, watch that. We've already said it.
We haven't.
Are you absolutely sure?
I am.
It'd be really funny because we've been going on and like hedging right up.
I'm very sure. You'll cut it anyway, even if we.
I'll have to now because it'll be yeah exactly. So the reason we're talking about this is because with all things, we're changing your divinity, affects who you are and who you are. And a lot of what Enelithid can do is biological and innate. And so it will change parts of that. It'll heighten parts of that. And we'll see that with more creatures going forward. The last thing that happened to you is you were taken, I believe, to your chambers, right? Because you have to sleep unlike the other ones.
Yes.
Yes. Now, the way that they kind of do it is like, there's no set time, right? There's no like they all go to bed, okay? So they're up during all times of day and or night. What they do is they stop once a day for 4 hours and meditate. They just check out for 4 hours, like whenever they can get it in. Maybe you're on guard duty for 10 hours. Maybe you're doing something else and you just check out for 4 hours. Mm. It also means that an all elven society is It's continuously active, right? If you're only sleeping is the equivalent, but then they're not. But if you're only resting, okay, for 4 hours a day, and if you don't do naps, because they don't, right? And if your resting is also your meditation, because that's what it is, there's no other reason to stop.
Right.
During the day.
Always turning. It's always moving.
Yeah. So they're on for 20 hours a day.
Okay.
They're creatures that live for over 1,000 years and they're on for 20 hours a day.
Industrious.
Yeah. See, people don't really think about that. They don't think about what that means. Mm. You know, that means that, I mean, for you to not go insane, because if human beings were up 20 hours a day working, doing things, even if they're not working, it's like lazily reading a book or laying by the pool or whatever the fuck it is. Right. I mean, I'm sure they do that too, right? They relax. But if you're doing something for 20 hours a day, you're conscious for 20 hours a day, you sleep for 4 hours a day, after a year of that, maybe less, human beings would crack.
Yes.
They would go nuts. They would, it's too much. Their brains need to rest.
And lives, they are lives. Elves' lifespans are so much longer.
A thousand years.
So they can do this. Very industrious people.
Right. And the dwarves don't do that. The dwarves asleep. Halflings don't. Halflings sleep. Everyone else sleeps, okay? Even the ones who live for a long time. So what does that mean? What does an all-elven society look like? And every view we get of it is this staid, finalized, old stone that's been there forever and always will be, old tree that's never changed and never... That's bullshit.
Right.
It'd be changing all the time, constantly.
And here in this cave is where we might see that.
Oh, 100%.
So sandstone being carved out. We've got...
Everything is carved out. I mean, it's like, I want to, like... I don't know if I really describe this well. If you've seen Petra, right? The city carved into stone. So imagine the detail of Petra.
Yes.
That, you know, all that, all those carvings, all that amazing work and how deep everything is, right? How they go back into the rock and there's these gorgeous caves and how they allow sunlight to bounce in and how they play with that. It's just masterful everywhere.
Yes.
And they use glass and they create mirrors and they're masters at that and they can bounce light anywhere throughout these chambers and make it feel like I think the favorite time for sun elves is just when the sun settles past their rocks and there's this red glow above them and there's this light that plays on the tarps they haven't quite let down yet and kind of radiates down, so it's this soft glow that kind of permeates everything and they become masters at capturing light, bouncing that into their rooms through this amber soapstone to make it glow everywhere. So these rooms are gorgeously lit. Right?
Yes.
It's enjoyable to spend time in them because they're so well
lit. It's not a dark, wet cavern. No. I understand.
Yeah. And then at night, they use phosphorescence, animals and plants, and it glows in a whole new way. So it just transitions for them because, again, they're always active.
Yes.
Right. But so they've been in this area for about 120 years. And wait, is that right? Hang on.
Yeah, you said yesterday it'd be about 120
years. Yeah, so they've been here for about 120 years. There's been a roughly 100 of them at any time.
Yeah, so roughly one generation?
Yeah, well, I would say that they had kids when they soon after they got here.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, in about 120 years, one generation. There is a generation of younglings, and there were some youth when they arrived who are now approaching real adulthood, you know?
Right. And as I lay there in my chambers, resting, arms folded over my chest, I'm in a laying position on a bed, I've taken the form of Sigma, and I'm kind of going between Sigma, Enid, and Oris, and I'm trying to kind of put some of that together and thinking about, I mean, using their memories.
Yeah.
Lake Zavon, where we had come from.
In the room you're in,
yes.
Right? Again, because they're so into glass and mirrors, right? There are several mirrors on the walls. They're very into them because they're good at them and they bounce light around, right?
Okay.
So when you're laying on this bed with your arms across, fully clothed, you know, as flat as if you're in a coffin, right?
Yes.
You know,
that's the image I'm trying to evoke here, yes.
To your left, there is a mirror. And in that mirror appears Enid, okay? To your right, there's a mirror. And in that mirror appears Oris. And so the conversation you're having is with both of them in your form, and their psyches are being represented for you physically as manifestations in your own head.
Yes.
You've gotten used to this now. Like,
yes.
You know, you see things that aren't there, but they are there. They're just representing themselves in ways you can see them.
It is a mark of my power and superiority over these mortals.
Yes.
And the conversation I'm having with them is to, and this is both sides of the coin, come from Lake Zavon. Return to Lake Zavon. This, just as the god of inspiration was born 100 years ago from the will of humans, so am I. So am I made flesh from the will of these people.
You were called. We were told you would be called. This is what we've believed for years, years even before we came here, years even before we were cursed.
It was your destiny to find something, and I am that something.
That is what fate should seem to tell us.
And Osiris just kind of scoffs.
Oris.
Oris just kind of scoffs.
You see me as a monster.
You have proven yourself such. You have claimed, you have taken, just as we suspected you would claim and take.
Your nightmares and visions of me are a reflexive move It is, you fear what you do not understand.
The edges of
branches.
You
do not
branches.
Understand the will of your own people.
The shadows that are formed in the flickering candlelight around you form branches that begin to claw up the sides of the room. You will pervert everything here. You will take everything you want. You will crush any outside belief. You are a monster.
I will give all of this to you. I've given you eternal life. And I take the form of him. I change my body to his form.
There's the slightest resistance. Like, if you're, like, instead of flexing a muscle, mm-hmm. there's this slight resistance where you have to, like, flex, and then you feel it, you know, hit a wall, and mm-hmm. you have to flex harder.
Yes.
You hear him scream and kind of vanish from the mirror, and then you are him.
You don't know it, but you and your sister, Asuma, fight for complacency. This is not our home. This is not your home. Lake Zavon is. This is an outpost. This is a refuge. And we will retake our ancestral home. You fight for complacency, and I fight for a future, a purpose.
You begged for this. This.
Thank you for joining us for episode 94, Future Present. For behind-the-scenes videos, my DM's notes, campaign extras, early access to new episodes, and a whole lot more, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/Vardian. And we'll see you next time in the world of the Five Kingdoms. This show was produced and edited by Dead Ghost Productions. Find out more about us and all the shows we make at deadghostpro.com.